as they led away. Most people think that Jesus just walked up there by himself, but there were three people walking up there, the two thieves and Jesus. They were on their way, and as he carried Jesus' cross, amen, they followed him, a great company of people. And what we find out basically is, according to verse number 32, we find out, amen, that there were two malefactors, as we said, or criminals, or, crooks who were with, led to be with him to be put to death. Amen. And they finally came. When they came to that place, which is called Calvary. Amen. They came to Calvary. Calvary is the Latin for Golgotha. It's the same hill. Golgotha is a skull shape. It was a skull shaped hill, but Calvary is the name for that hill. And it says something very interesting. It says in verse number 33, very interesting to me, it was. It says, there they crucified him and the other lawbreakers, the two thieves, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Right. Amen. One was on the right hand and the other was on the left. Right. Amen. Right. They were carried. Now, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Amen. And what we find out basically is that it's hard to tell who was on the right and on the left. But there they were in Calvary, and amen, you can't tell unless you either are before Jesus or beside Jesus, depending on your location. Depending on what the right or the left really is. But people and the rulers were trying to get Jesus to be on their side. Amen. In verse 37, the soldiers were trying to get Jesus to be on their side. In verse 39, we find out that the thief was trying to get Jesus to be on his side. Everybody wants somebody to be on their side. But nobody wants to be on his side. Amen. You got a whole chapter of people here trying to get Jesus to be on their side. And you find out in verse 38 that they put a superscription. They put a notification over the head. It was written in Greek. It was written in Latin. It was written in Hebrew. Greek was the universal language. Everybody knew that language. It was written in Latin. Latin represented Rome, the law. It represented language. We find out that it was written in Greek. It was written in Latin, and it was also written in Hebrew, and that was the Jewish language. So anybody coming by, looking at this person on the cross, could see that. Amen. Good. Get the message. This is the reason why this criminal is being crucified. He's being crucified simply because he claims to be the King of the Jews. They put the reason why he's being crucified right across the top of his head and put it in everybody's language. So anybody coming through, the thieves would know. Anybody could read it and know clearly what's going on. And why this person is being crucified, and to send a message to Rome that you don't ever cross us because you'll be on the cross. Have got to. It incited fear into those citizens, and they were knew not to mess with Rome. Amen. It put terror. They terrorized the people. Well, the fact of the matter is that this. We look at this and we find out that the thief, and amen, there was a good thief and a bad thief. Amen. It was a good thief and it was a bad thief. And what we find out, actually, they were both bad thieves at first. when you look at another account, you don't have to turn there, but Matthew 27:44, you find out that both these thieves railed accusations against Jesus. They both insulted Jesus. Amen. Now, we know that they were on the cross. Amen. From the 6th, according to verse 44, and it's about to almost approach the 6th to the 9th hour, and we know that they were on the cross from 9 a.m., and 6th hour would be noon, and the 9th hour would be 3 p.m., so they had been on the cross from 9 a.m. till almost noon. And so we began to find out that something went on, apparently, in the heart of one of these thieves. Amen. Something went on in the heart of one of these thieves as they were hanging on that cross. Amen. Something went on. Amen. And like I said, we don't know which one was on the right side or which one was on the left side. Amen. But when you look at it, you begin to find out that there's something went on. Something was going on with this thief, and this thief was no doubt watching Jesus, paying attention to Jesus. Amen. He was listening to Jesus, and he something began to change on the inside of him, this thief. Amen. The thief in verse number 40. We finally get to somebody who wants to be, amen, who wants to get on God's side. Do you want God to get on your side? Or do you want to get on God's side? Amen. In life, we need to make that decision before we live it. Because some people, they can't follow God because they can't follow God for trying to get God to follow them. Amen. They spend their whole life trying to get God to do what they want God to do. Trying to get God to listen to them. Trying to get God to do things their way. Trying to carry out their will and trying to do it their way. And they spent a lifetime of Christianity trying their best to get Jesus to get on their side. Lord, if you just work with me, things would be... Oh, let me get on out of here. I'm getting late. Amen. Just Lord, just go along. I'm not gonna hold you. The truth of the matter is that they spend a lot of time and energy trying to persuade God to do things their way. Amen. But that this good thief does not see things that way. We find out that this good thief, amen, in verse 40, that's the good thief. The bad thief is in verse 39. Matter of fact, I didn't tell you what the bad thief said, did I? Amen. The bad thief said that he was hanging out. He said he railed on him. He insulted him. He questioned him. He doubted him. If thou be the Christ. Amen. Amen. Save thyself and us. Amen. I think he was more concerned about himself than Jesus. He just wanted somebody to help him. I think he wanted some help himself. If you be the Christ, amen. He's saying, look, prove to me if you're the Christ, if you'll come down, because you coming down would sure make me happy. Amen. A lot of people ain't interested in making God happy. I'm serious. They're not interested in making God happy. They're interested in God making them happy. Amen. Or you want to make God happy, or do you want God to make you happy? And the nerve of this guy, we find out that he railed on Jesus. Amen. He railed on him. Amen. He insulted him. Amen. If thou be the Christ. But then this other guy, this good thief, we find out that this guy here is, by the way, we all thieves. Oh, no matter how good you are, you still, amen. Ain't nobody perfect. Have I got a witness? Ain't nobody like they ought to be. Amen. You good and bad. I don't care if you are good, you still. He's a thief, but he's a good thief. Amen. But can't nobody point the finger. The other guy just won't get nobody to pay for his sins. But this was the good thief. The good thief made a statement that is very important. He says, amen. I think something happened to this thief. I think as he observed Jesus for those first 3 hours approximately and looked at him and listened to him, amen, he no doubt concluded, this something wrong. He reached over and he told the other guy, he rebuked him. He corrected him. He said, you know, leave Jesus alone. Amen. Amen. That good thief in verse 40 says, he rebuked him. He corrected him. Don't you fear God? Don't you see, man, that we are facing a death sentence? We all in the same condemnation. Don't you know we going to die today? Don't you fear God? There are a whole lot of people don't fear God. Amen. They don't fear God. Amen. They and that's where it starts. You got to fear God. God, when we fear God, that'll straighten us out. But if you put that fear, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And he asked him, man, don't you fear God? What's wrong with you? Amen. Don't you fear God? Amen. And in verse 41, he continues, he says, we deserve to be here. We indeed have been justified, for we have received the due to our deeds. Amen. We deserve to be up here, but this man has done nothing. Now, when he said he feared God, that meant he acknowledged that there was a God. Amen. And when he said do you fear God? Amen. He believed in God. And he said, we are the ones that are guilty. That means he confessed. ABC. Amen. That's the ABCs of salvation. Amen. You got to admit, you got to believe, and you got to confess. So here, man, is something has happened to this good thief. He had a heart change. It was not something that was quick. He had a change of heart. But it was something that came slowly, slower, and slower and slower. He made a conscious decision, not out of excitement or emotion. He made a conscious decision. Amen. He didn't even say, come down and get us down. Yeah. Have we got a witness? He wasn't concerned about his own life. His heart wanted to be on the right side. And he made a conscious decision. Amen. And that's what you got to do. Your heart's got to be right. You can't be wanting God so he can get you down. So God can do something for you, do you a favor. You can't be wanting God. And that's why I said we celebrate our own history. Amen. We celebrate Melissa the other yesterday. But the Bible says that except a grain of wheat fall to the ground and dies, it abides alone. It's a seed. And seeds should be planted. Seeds should be buried, not burned. I think I made somebody mad. But the truth of the matter is that we deposit our bodies because God is waiting. He's coming back to get the body. But one thing that I admire about her is the fact that she was a young lady who made that conscious decision. It was not a quick decision, but around 16, that's when she decided to start her religious history. Have I got a witness? At 16, amen, amen. When she was just fixing to get turned up as a teenager, when she was, amen, just fixing, amen, to get involved in the teen life. Here you have a girl who is, amen, making a conscious decision, and that lets us know that it was not something that was done amen, out of emotion. And that's the consolation that her parents has. That's the consolation they have. And because of the fact that we know that the decision was made in the heart. And it was not, the choir didn't make her happen. She come down the aisle. There was no emotion or anything. She thought about it. And at a time when teenagers would be leaving the Lord, she decided, take me to the water. And I baptized her right back there. Amen. Have I got a witness? Ain't that good news? History among us. Christian history. Amen. I think about Brother Bernard when he was decided to preach. He decided to do it. And what's interesting is when he decided to do it. When he was in his 20s. Just at the time when people are getting ready to get buck wild. Hey, amen. You can't hardly get nobody to be acknowledged being a Christian or being a pastor or want to be a preacher or be a deacon because they say, I'm not through yet. But to make a decision that young, that says something about, do you know how many people are going to be watching you when you say, I'm called to preach? Have I got a witness? Well, of course, now there must be something deep within you that gives you a conviction that lets you know that this thing must be real. Otherwise, why would young people be giving their life to the Lord at a time when they're just about to get wild? Well, the fact of the matter is that is good news. I don't know about you, but it says something about the genuineness. It makes it credible. Amen. Not doubting others, but that does make a statement when you make a conscious decision to make Jesus your choice. And that means that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, I'm running out of time. The truth of the matter is that what was the results of this personally made decision? Well, we find out, amen, he turned over to Jesus, amen. And he said in verse 42, Lord, remember me. Amen. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Amen. And we all know what happened, don't we? Now, he called him Lord. Have you got a witness? Right there on the cross, he had decided to make him his Lord. He didn't say Jesus. He said Lord. Amen. Amen. Remember me. Just remember me. Amen. You ain't got to get me down from the cross today. I know I'm going to die today. Just remember me. Have I got a witness?
Yeah, yeah.
And Jesus responded. Jesus turned back to him in verse number 43. And he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Lord, have mercy. Today. Amen. Amen. Sometimes when Jesus said, verily, verily. Amen. You begin to find out that it's for emphasis. But when he didn't just say, you shall be with me. He said, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Not tomorrow, today. Amen. Not next week, not tonight, today. Not next Tuesday, today. Amen. That day he got hooked up with Jesus, and that day when he died, amen, he was with Jesus. How many of y'all know that's good news? Amen. Today. Now, it's sad that everybody don't do that. Because they were both, no doubt, equal distances from Jesus. Jesus was in the middle of them. There was somebody on the right and there was somebody on the left. And they both had that opportunity, like right now. You don't know how close to death you are, and you may not recognize how important it is and how close you are to salvation. I'm not asking you to join the church, although you should be a part of a church. Have I got a witness? You should. You know, you have some people that don't think they ought to be in nobody's church. I don't need to go. I don't need to join no church. I just need to just serve the Lord. I'll be all over. No, you need a church. You need a church home. Have I got a witness? You need a church home. Amen. 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 You need a church home. Amen. So you can get the rights and privileges of the church. Amen. It's kind of like dating and never getting married. I just want the benefits when it's time, but I don't want no commitment. I don't want to have to be responsible for anything. I just want to be, amen, associated with something. No, you need to make a responsible decision to be a part of a church, to take on the responsibilities of the church. Amen. Because somebody else is doing something, because the church really has no right to ask you to do certain things if you're not a member. They have no right for you to expect you to carry on the work of the church, to put nothing in church. They have no right to ask you to do anything in church. If you're a visitor, you just coding, that's all. Start say coding like the old people say. You just coding. Some folks been coding a long time. I thought you were a member of the church. You mean you've been dating me this long and you ain't putting no ring on my finger yet? Amen. No, you need to be responsible. Make people be responsible with your life. Make them respect you. Amen. Respect the Lord. Don't just, amen, you need a church. You need to be under the authority of a church to hold you accountable. Have I got a witness? Amen. You need to be, you need to have pastoral care. Amen. You need to have physician's care. You need to have a police care. Amen. You need to be, you know, they call the police, they say the authorities. They don't just say police, they say the authorities. I mean, you got the citizens there got some authorities. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You got some authorities. But you need to be under a church. And the Bible, what did the Bible say when people don't act like they ought to and don't do like they ought to? What does the Bible say when you look at, I think it's Matthew 18, 17. He says that when people don't do right, tell it to the church. First of all, get somebody to try to talk to them. Then send a witness. If that don't work, tell it to the church. And they are under the authority of that church. When that church meet and talk, they're supposed to do what that church tells them to do. They say, as your religious body or based on the authority of the word of God, and we're responsible people, this is what we want you to do about this situation. But people now run over the church. Don't care what the church say. They take advantage of the church. They use the church. Oh, you don't see, y'all don't like that part. That's all right. It's the truth anyhow. Amen. But this thief, you say, well, the thief wasn't a part of a church. Amen. But I think if he'd have came down, I believe he would have went and joined the church. But church ain't got to do with salvation. It's about responsibility. But here you have a man who did not have a title, had never been a tither. You have didn't have church membership, and yet he went to heaven like everybody else. Oh, Lord, ain't God a good God? He didn't make him do nothing. He hadn't held no office. He hadn't done anything. And Jesus told him, right now, today, right now, amen, amen, you're going to be with me in Paris. You have changed sides. And you've gotten on the right side. You see, a lot of folk trying to get God to be on this side, and they need to be on God's side. God is with you. You say, as long as I got God with me. God may be with you, but God better be on your side. Have I got a witness? And God will be on your side if you're on his side. But God didn't go around getting on somebody's side who's not on his side. Have I got a witness? You said, as long as I got the Lord, amen. You think the Lord just going to do everything that you want done. But that's not the way it works. What did Moses say in Exodus chapter 32, verse 26? Who is on the Lord's side? y'all don't like that. Exodus 32 and 26. Amen. When they were up there dancing and making gods of gold, and they in chapter 32, and they were dancing around that golden calf, and they didn't wearing any clothes or anything, and Moses came down, he got mad, and he said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" Amen. 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 You got to make sure that God is on your side, and you got to and being on God's side is being on the right side. When I think about us, I think about the black people. He said, if it had not been for the Lord on our side. Have we got a witness? And we usually associated black with negativity. Have we got a witness? But I'm here to tell you that black is not negative. Amen. Simon the Cyrenian was in the history. He made black history. Carrying Jesus' cross. How many of y'all would love to carry Jesus' cross? We often associate a black with evil and with bad and with That which is, you know, suspicious or breeds contempt. Amen. Something's going to go wrong. But I'm here to tell you that there are some positive signs. Amen. Ever got a witness of being black? Amen. And we saw some in here, didn't we? We saw one. Amen. Melissa made history. Amen. Bernard made history. Amen. Jason made history. Many other people in this church made history. Yeah. They were black and they made Christian history. Amen. We talk about black history. What's your church history like? Amen. I wish I had a witness. You can be black and still make history. I want to make history in my church. Amen. Amen. I want to, if they need somebody at the camera, I'm going to do like Melissa did when she went to the university and get her a bachelor's degree in media production. I wish I had a witness. She's making history. Black is beautiful. I've got a witness. Amen. Black is a unifying symbol. That's why we need to stick together. Blackbirds do. Have I got a witness? We need to stick together. I like black. When you're in trouble, you're in the red. But you need to get back in the black. It's not back, stay black, stay back. It's getting back in the black. And when you get in the black, I'm glad to know that Jesus, my sins, amen, I'm back in the black now. I was in the red. I was doing wrong. I was going in the wrong direction. I was giving God all kind of trouble. But tell your neighbor, I'm back in the black. Have I got a witness? Everything's all right now. And if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Have I got a witness? And speaking of black, it got real black. Because verse 44 said, the sun went out. Stand to your feet. Amen. Have I got a witness? And there was darkness everywhere. Black is a divine act. I wish I had a witness. Make everything black. It's a divine act. There's nothing wrong with no other color. Because black is a color. Red is a color. White is a color. Yellow is a color. They're all colors. They're just different colors. But black is not bad. It's just a color. God made blackbirds. God made white doves. God made blue jays. God made red birds. God is a God of color. And God said, red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in my sight. I don't know about you. There may be somebody want to get back in the black this morning. You've been in the red. You've been living in the red. And God has been upset with you. But today, this morning, you can get back in the black. And Father, we thank you.